Well, I always learn a lot when I get a chance to visit with the folks from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Too bad we need to have a consumer protection agency in many ways, but it's really great to have a resource like the agency to help us out when scams are going on, to let us know what to do and how to avoid problems. And that's why we've got Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Runyon with us from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy Chalmers, good to see you again.
Good morning, Larry.
And Michelle Runyon, thank you for coming as well.
Well, thanks for having us back.
We have lots of things we can talk about, but this whole business about the new credit cards, I have two of them now, actually. They're chip cards. But are there some problems, potential problems with them? What's good and what's not so good, maybe?
Well, there's been quite a bit in the news about these new cards, and they do provide a higher level of security than the old magnetic strip cards. But don't be lulled into a false sense of security about those cards. I mean, you still have to protect them. When you get one, you should activate it immediately and protect it, just like the old cards, from being stolen. You should protect your PIN, because now you'll be using a PIN with those cards. And you've seen them, Larry. They look just like the old credit cards that we're used to, but there's a gold-colored chip embedded right in the card. Well, as is so often the case, you know, these criminals sitting in countries halfway around the globe understand that there's a big change going on in this country that involves financial transactions. So they're taking advantage of that. And what we're hearing specifically is that people are reporting getting emails from a company that looks like their financial institution, asking them to verify information about their account, and they're posing as their credit card company. And so people are falling for this by entering their credit card information and PIN or social security number. And we hear a lot about these phishing emails. And they always follow news, and anytime there's anything new that they could catch people off guard, they will do that. So that's something to watch out for.
And it's a little different system. In some cases, you don't slide the card with the new one. You sort of stick it in a slot.
Yeah, they call it dipping instead of swiping.
Yeah.
But a lot of the cards that are being issued now have the embedded chip and the magnetic strip, as the retailers are switching over to the new system. So if you have an option of dipping or swiping, you should dip, because it is more secure than the old magnetic strip.
We got an email question from Paul who said, there's a story going around Facebook about cashiers surreptitiously adding cashback charges during checkout and then handing the cash to an accomplice who's next in line. Have you heard anything about this? It seems pretty involved to me, Michelle.
It does seem very involved. And I haven't heard about that from callers on our hotline, but it does seem like something you'd want to watch for on your credit card statement, because you would potentially see an increased charge on your card than what you were billed for, or that there may be a fee for cash back that you'd want to be monitoring for. And definitely reporting that if it's happening, because if they're handing it off to someone else, that sounds like true crime and some kind of insider or something that you would want to be reporting to the store management, potentially law enforcement, but your credit card company for sure. They could track it.
Talking with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Runyon about consumer protection issues. I haven't given the number yet, I don't think. Let me do that right now. You can call us with a question at 1-800-642-1234. Have you been the victim of a scam, or you have a question about some things that are operating in your area, in your neighborhood? 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Let's talk about holidays. The holidays are pretty much upon us, right around the corner with Thanksgiving. Opens the market for a lot of holiday scams. What do we got out there this time around. There's always a few. There's been shipping scams. There's been gift card scams. Michelle,
you're hitting them. So I haven't seen any in my inbox or junk box yet, but the shipping scam, very popular, and it starts up right when those ads, the online shopping ads, start up. So you want to watch your inbox for an email from FedEx or USPS or UPS indicating that here's your tracking number. And then they have a link so you can follow the package that you've just shipped. And they often use imposter sites to make it look like a package is coming from Walmart or Costco or Costco. And there's typos and all sorts of errors and things, but it's that link that you want to be careful of, not to click it. They're going to ask for either personally identifiable information, you to hand over the credit card or information potentially about your package if you're really expecting one, or they're going to potentially be putting malware on your system. Then they can be monitoring your computer that way. So be really cautious. When I do my holiday shopping online, I document, okay, who am I expecting a package from?
Right.
I wait for that email from that company. They give you all the, we've shipped it on this date. I don't open any of those other shipping things. It comes from the company themselves, and I know when to expect and from who. Because sometimes you do a lot of online shopping, and you can easily lose track, and that's what they're depending on.
We have Scott in La Crosse with a question, I believe. Scott, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Well, I've got a comment and a question. I got one of the new chip cards from Citibank at the end of August, and I was doing a self-checkout, and I was trying to swipe, and it wasn't working, and finally the monitor came over to me and said, you got a chip in there? And I said, yeah. She said, then swiping isn't going to work. It actually blocks you. It's smart enough to know that. But the question I have was when you mentioned PIN, because as they say, mine is Citibank, and nobody's mentioned anything about a PIN or cashback or anything like that. Is that just an option, or how does that work?
So some of the stores actually require the PIN to validate that the card is yours as well. So you can use it depends on the system within the store and how they are using the card in receiving the information. So it could be chip and signature or chip and PIN. And if the store isn't going to require your signature, then you would have to put the PIN in so they know that you are the proper user and they didn't just get a hold of someone else's card. It's that extra layer of security there. But each store is going to dictate. And right now in the U.S., we're probably more heavily on the signature side than we are on the PIN side. But to get your PIN, you have to just contact your credit card company, and they'll issue you one, and then you have the right to change it to something more personal.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. I would certainly love to hear from you. And we have open lines to get you on pretty quickly. There are some other things going on out there that are, you know, and here we go with things that involve elderly. And there are some, you know, here we are, I think, isn't it Medicare is open enrollment or something for Medicare? So there's, I imagine, Sandy, there are some problems or potential scams going.
Right. Every year at this time, we hear from elderly people who are getting emails or phone calls from fake insurance companies. And they will generally say something like, could you confirm your Medicare number for me? And of course, your Medicare number is your Social Security number.
Right.
And once they have that, you know, you're very vulnerable to identity theft. So some things to keep in mind, if you get a call from somebody who claims to be from Medicare or from an insurance company, and they ask you for personal information, hang up, because it's a scam. Medicare never calls and asks you to verify personal information. If you have any concerns, because some of these calls can be very threatening, you need to pay me this much to renew your Medicare card, or, you know, something like that, that kind of preys on the the vulnerabilities of an elderly person. If you ever have concerns about whether a call is legitimate, you can call the number on your Medicare card and get information on the call.
So do that, and don't give any information out over the phone, because if they say they're from Medicare and it's on the phone, they're not.
They're not. And they may be very aggressive. They may be pushy. They may talk about early bird discounts or something like that. Just resist that high pressure pitch and hang up the phone.
All right. Well, we have callers on the line, so maybe let's go to the phones here and go to Patrick in Barksdale. Patrick, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
What have you got for us today?
Well, this is a scam off of Craigslist. And what it is my son and I were selling a tractor.
Okay.
And a gentleman took and sent us a check. He said, well, I'll buy that, and we're going to have to move it. So I'm going to send you a check for enough money to move the tractor and pay the purchase price. And the check was made, it says, Interfaith Medical Center, which seems strange to be buying a tractor out of Brooklyn, New York. But I put the check in the bank, and the man called up, said, the check is cleared. I says, well, I want to make sure it's cleared. And I've been checking with my bank and his bank, and he's been relentless now with text messages. Just take and wire me the money for moving the tractor. And he said, well, then you should have just wired the money. We're not going to wire you the money. And as it turned out, now just today I got a call from my bank that the check has been returned. So that's why he's been so hasty to get this money. And I'm told that has happened with a granddaughter of mine who did this and actually sent the money and lost it. So this is a scam that's going on Craigslist.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for calling. I'm sure it's probably something we were going to discuss, but it's good to hear from someone who was almost scammed by it, but managed to get away. I'm sorry about your other relative, but...
Yeah, all we can say is thank you, Patrick, for sharing that and having the patience to wait out that the check would not clear. We probably can't talk about the Craigslist scam or the fake check scam enough. It seems to be having a spike right now, but it's that overpayment scam where they send a check for something they're buying in excess of the amount you're selling it for. The check is fake. They want you to send back the difference for whatever reason, and then you pay it out of pocket. The check doesn't clear. You're out your goods and the overpayment money that you sent. So waiting it out, those checks look very real. The banks think that they're real and deposit them, but you're responsible if the check doesn't clear for that amount of money that you've deposited. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I called the bank in Brooklyn, a TD Bank, and I called them to say, I just want to ensure I've got an account number here. I'd like you to check on this check. And they said, well, we won't unless you get into a conference call with the writer, which I would have done today, but I didn't have time yet today. And now the bank just called that the check has been returned.
Well, and a tractor, that probably talking about a fair amount of cash here. So I'm glad, Patrick, that you waited.
They do target the high-dollar items, cars, tractors, skid loaders. And it's not just Craigslist. We've heard from farmers in the state who have advertised in some of our state ag newspapers because those classified ads are also online and available to criminals in Western Africa or anywhere in the world they can target you with this kind of scam.
Thanks again, Patrick, for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking consumer protection issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, what about consumer scams, consumer protection issues? Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests, Thanks to them, and thanks to you for listening. Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can also post a question on our Facebook page, a Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. Scott and Madison up next with a question. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. My question is that, and I've tried to get a hold of you guys before, but my question is that why can't, in regards to telemarketing calls and things like that, that you guys were just talking about not too long ago, is I think that these telemarketers are using Skype, which basically costs next to nothing, because my wife went over to Europe and she used Skype to call me at home because it was like around $2 for her whole trip that she spent a week on. That's how they're saving their money in regards to getting us to us. I mean, getting to us. Now, in regards to that, why can't people go after Skype? Because Skype is owning all of the telephone numbers that basically that we're getting all these telemarketer calls from all over the world. Is that true or not true?
I'm not sure, but let me ask Michelle Redden.
I don't have an exact answer for you. I mean, their laws are written in a manner as who's responsible for making the solicitation phone call and technologies that are there. And we do know that the telemarketers do use voice over internet protocol quite a bit in order to make their calls and can make the mass calls. So all the investigators at all the levels are working together and using and working with the technology and other experts to see how best to get a different kind of handle on it. And calls are coming from an international area. And so we do all work together.
Yeah. And it's, and once you figure, solve one issue out, pretty the next day, there's a new sort of a new phase of it that's just slightly different, but then you have to go through that again, that whole mess.
They are always trying to get in front of the technology that exists to minimize, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott, for calling. Judith and Mequon, your turn. Hi, Judith.
Hi. I think I can add a little information about the chip and PIN with debit and credit cards.
Yeah.
We travel abroad frequently, and we've had a bank account with an English bank for over 30 years. And with that account, we have a debit card that has a true chip and PIN. I got one of the very first American credit cards that has a chip in it, but it is chip and signature. And we have been contacting every bank in America to find out if we can get a real chip and PIN. And what I mean by real is that you can use this PIN in shops, restaurants, everywhere. It is not just for the ATM. And so there's a real difference. I have a PIN for my current chip and signature card, but if I used it abroad, my bank here in the States tells me I would end up paying cash advance fees and all kinds of things like that. I can only use the PIN really as an ATM. And there is no bank in this, except for, I should say, Andrews Air Force Base, does or have a chip and PIN card, a real chip and PIN card, but it's kind of hard to qualify if you're not in the service. So we are decades behind in this country, but I just want people to know that, because if they use that PIN abroad for anything but the ATM, they could end up incurring huge charges. They need to do the signature.
Well, I appreciate the extra information for everyone, but I think it depends on the bank, too. You would always want to check and verify with your bank on their policies, because I, too, traveled abroad, and I was just issued my U.S. Chip card, and I did have to use it as a PIN, and I didn't have any of the extra fees or anything. All I had were the conversion issues, but I didn't have any cash advance fees. So it might vary policy by policy with the card type that you have and card holder.
Yeah, the takeaway is check with your own bank, make darn sure that they understand. And, well, you should check with them anyway if you're going to go to Europe, let's say. You should let them know that you're going to Europe, so they...
Otherwise, you might be blocked, and you'll just be out in a big way, so yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Judith, for calling. Appreciate it. Lynn up next with a comment. Lynn, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I want to thank you for having these shows, and thank thank you particularly to those who are helping in this department to really protect the residents of Wisconsin. I've ran into you first actually on another radio show here on the Larry Mueller Show, and regarding a telemarketing scam that was targeting my mother. But this one, we have kind of a heartbreaking situation with friends of ours who are in a vulnerable circumstance and got caught by one of the cash wiring scams. Called your office, got very good advice, passed it on to our friends, but the people, they happen to connect with these scammers on social media, and these people will groom you. Once they get a hold of somebody that they know is willing to listen, they can be extremely persuasive, and they will groom a person for quite some time before they actually nail them. Our friends have no money, and they're potentially on the hook for tens of thousands of dollars. Could you explain why you cannot? I was listening to the gentleman who had the Craigslist scan, and I applaud him so much for holding on that check and not cashing it and forwarding it, because anybody can let their guard down, I think. Could you explain further why you cannot count on a bank or a credit union to not catch the check into a bad check until it's too late? Mm-hmm. And is there any way, I actually admit being a little ticked off by the wiring companies, because you've got vulnerable people walking in and sending all this money out, and nobody stops them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but it, particularly why a bank can be fooled until the last minute, and some of the warning signs. This particular one, it involved, you know, a damsel in distress and a possible job opportunity and a cut of the profits and all of this. And for somebody who is in kind of a desperate situation, it can just be seem like an angel has shown up. So yeah. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, Lynn, I think we're going to work on this one together and explaining it, because it's pretty complex. But these checks that appear, people are making them at home with their own computer systems, because we have that technology to do that. But they're typically using legitimate company information in the upper corner, real routing number information, real check stuff that are mismatches in most cases, or stuff that they've obtained through other theft and fraud. And so the check looks legitimate. It contains all the appropriate information for a bank to be looking at, and then when it starts through the long process of clearing, then the mismatches are discovered and it's not there. And there's laws in place.
Yeah, this goes to some federal banking laws which require banks to make deposits available to the depositor within a certain amount of time, and the number of days vary by the type of bank and company issuing the check. But the thing is, criminals understand that the money will be made available to the victim before the bank will realize that it's a fake check, a fraudulent check. And they take advantage of that on a regular basis. So we've done work with the financial institutions in the state to make them aware that they should be looking for these fake checks. But it can be very difficult, as Michelle said. It's relatively easy to come up with a fake check that will fool a bank teller.
Mm-hmm. And we have had, I'm sure on the show, we've had a few cases where someone has called and said, you know, the bank caught it because they knew, mm-hmm. they happened to know the person and you know, whoever had that check and thought, well, this is not right.
Yeah, we've had heroes like that at the wire services at the Walmart stores who catch that and keep an elderly person from losing tens of thousands of dollars, and bank tellers do catch a lot of this as well. The other thing I want to mention is how Lynn explained that these criminals will groom a victim.
Yeah.
That's because they know that it's worth their time to sink a few months into grooming a victim, because they can eventually reap tens of thousands of dollars from this person. And we talk sometimes about the romance scams or sweetheart scams. Those, and that almost make that name makes light of what is a very, very serious issue. But people typically in those romance scams are drawn in over a period of many months or even years, and they tend to lose in the five or even six figures from those scams.
That is a real shame. Jane in Wauwatosa has a question for us, and so let's go to her next. Jane, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. So over the past couple of weeks, I got phone calls from four different individuals that lived, and actually one was from a bank, from people that lived in different locations about the U.S., including Florida, California, Minnesota, and Michigan. What they informed me, well, they called questioning why I had charged their credit card for a nominal amount of like $20.82, and that my name, which is actually kind of difficult to spell, has an unusual spelling, is on their credit card account. There's a phone number listed, which is not like my correct phone number, but what all of these individuals did was they simply Googled me and got my phone number and gave me a call. And my question is, I know of four of these things. These are, you know, people that are actually checking their account. I can only imagine how many other instances of this there were. And my question is, what is the best way to protect myself and my name? Because obviously I didn't charge them or put, you know, receive any of the money.
I'm not sure.
Feeling a little stumped by that one, Jane.
So it sounds like somebody may have stolen your name and used it as the company that's doing the billing. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out where you would go to fix that.
Right, because I actually talked to one of the credit card companies. One of them, three individuals called me, and one was actually a representative from a credit card company, which I happen to have an account with, and I figured, oh, well, they called me because they must already have my name and information on record. And then when I said, oh, you know, you contacted me because I'm also a cardholder, and they're like, oh, no, we didn't even know that. We're just from the fraud department. We're contacting you on behalf of the consumer, you know, because they're reporting that this wasn't a correct charge. My thoughts were to file maybe a police report just so it's on record, and then maybe put a statement on my credit bureau. I also own a small business, and so it's like I really, well, regardless of if I own one or not, it's like I don't want my name out there.
Right.
So you hit one of the things I wrote down while you were explaining further is, one, yes, I would likely file a police report so it's out there and registered, because if they do this, if this is happening across the board and they initiate an investigation into it, you've already put it out there, because it is a form of, Sandy said, of identity theft. And the other thing I would likely do, if you don't already have a fraud alert or a security freeze on your credit report individually, because you don't know what else is happening out there with someone using your identity in this form. In order to do these charges and list this, maybe they've had to take out some kind of financial equipment or something to run these charges, what's behind it, and potentially used more of your information. So I would at least run a credit report as well, and then try and lock down your information there.
Yeah, that's, I think, very important. Good luck, Jane. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Deborah in Milwaukee, on to you next. Hi, Deborah.
I'm calling on behalf of my sister who lives in Marquette, Michigan, and she has charter.net. It's Charter up there. And she told me, when I recently visited, that somebody had taken money out of a PayPal account for my mom. And I said, oh, Mom has a PayPal account? She said, no, she doesn't. So I said, really? Somebody created a PayPal? So someone created a PayPal account for my mom, who's 86 and just had a stroke, 3 times. And then I just called my sister before I called you, and she said now in the past 4 days she's gotten calls from someone who claims to be from the IRS. And so they're kind of, I don't know if they're connected or not, but, and they always leave a message. I asked her for their number because they have caller ID and they didn't have that. But so I'm wondering, my sister was speculating who would have created, I thought it would be Charter. Who would be able to create a PayPal account? My sister thinks it might be the bank or the check, or who she orders checks from, like Bradford Exchange or something like that. So,
In all honesty, if I had enough information, I could probably start up a PayPal account in your mom's name. So it wouldn't necessarily be a company or entity. Anyone who has enough information could do that. So this is another potential identity theft situation where you'll want to run a credit report, see what's going on there, if you can identify that, and then put a fraud alert or security freeze in place to try and prevent any thing further from happening. And then if there is identity theft there, you'll want to contact the law enforcement officials, file that police report, and then contact the state of Michigan's Consumer Protection Agency to see if they have resources to help assist with that.
Yeah,
that would.
How do you put a credit, put a fraud alert or credit freeze if she doesn't have an account?
That is something that's done with the credit reporting agencies. And if you call our agency or go on our website, we have instructions on how to do that, because a security freeze, you need to contact each of the 3 major credit reporting agencies. They have instructions on their website if you have the ability to go there and look.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much. Well, another scary thing there.
I've heard about this before. I have a friend who ran into the same problem. The only thing I could add to what Michelle has given is that she should also notify PayPal that there may be potential fraud. And PayPal will likely call or contact this person that has set up the account to make sure that they truly don't have the same name as her mother or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's not a mix-up there, but she should let PayPal know that there may be potential fraud.
Let's turn to Lynn next. Lynn, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm sorry I hung up so soon before. I realized I forgot to clarify something. With my friends who were caught out with the social media scam where they were wiring money, they never saw a check. What it was is the people actually talked them into using a bank account of their own in their name. Oh. And then the money was direct deposited into that bank account. And then my friends would withdraw it, take it to a wiring service, and wire it out within the country. That was the other thing that was messing with them. It was in a neighboring state that they were wiring the money to. So they were, well, of course it can't be Nigerian. Of course it can't be. But I couldn't think of a single legitimate reason why a real attorney or business interest would require you to use your own bank account. But that would be the other warning sign. They never saw a paper check, and their bank never saw a paper check. It was all directly deposited into their own account, and then they would pull it out and take it in increments. You know, I thought of one other thing, too, totally unrelated, where there was a gentleman asking about the scam with cashiers stealing money off of credit cards and using an accomplice. Actually, I think I've seen that one. If you ever run into a social media meme or rumor or something, I always like Snopes.com and Hoax Slayer. They catch a lot of those. I don't think that one's real, but it's worth looking up. So I'll stay on the phone this time just in case there's any other questions.
All right. Lynn, thanks very much for calling. Comments? I think she clarified that pretty well. And it's another way that we didn't discuss this whole business about direct deposits. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. I think what it comes back to is what Sandy was talking about with many of these different kinds of scams, that they really just prey on building that relationship and trust and make you vulnerable to a situation and feeling very desperate for the individual you're in contact with to where you are, heartstrings, and giving them everything to assist in their situation. And it can even be where you just know it's not right to be using someone else's bank account or depositing money from yours there, and you do it anyway because it feels right.
Yeah, and I want to encourage people, if this happens to you or has happened to somebody you know, please, please report it. That's the only way that we can at least attempt to get you your money back. But at the very least, it helps us know what we need to inform the public about, what to watch for and how to what they can do to protect themselves.
And your what's your 800 number again? It's
1-800-422-7128.
1-800-422-7128. And then, of course, you can go online, too.
Absolutely. And that's datcp.wi.gov.
datcp.wi.gov. And I'm pretty sure we have that. Yeah. Rebecca says, yeah, that's up on our Facebook page. We've got it there in case you didn't get it written down. And again, thanks to Lynn for her for clarifications on her original earlier call. You can join in too. Question or comment, or something happened to you or a friend or relative, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. An email question from Sandy. There's a product called Lock Wallet, which is supposed to protect chip cards from a thief who walks by with a reader, RFID reader. The lock wallet has some metal in it. Is this necessary? Is it something to worry about? Or is this like wearing a tinfoil hat to ward off aliens?
Well, it is possible. I don't know how common it is, but I know I was a federal employee and we had chip ID cards and we were given metal holders to prevent our information from being read. So it is a valid concern. I know that there are metal holders available for cards, chip cards, and there are also fabric type holders similar to the ones that you would use to store your passport in when you travel overseas. So, again, it's a personal choice. It is a real concern, but I just don't know how common or prevalent it is.
Okay. We have many callers coming online here, and so we're looking forward to that as we visit with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Rennan from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Net as we take a look at consumer scam issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Questions, call us at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. You can do that as well. Tina and Eau Claire online with a phone call, so let's go to her. Thanks, Tina.
Good morning. I just had a question about the chip and signature cards that are being issued now.
Yeah.
Is the signature read through like a computerized recognition system, or is it up to the store cashier to recognize that signature? Because I've had several instances where the store cashier doesn't even ask for my card, and it's just assumed that I'm the correct owner of the card. And what's being done to protect me against that?
As I understand it, it's still just store verification. It's your signature there. It's not that the signatures are being captured for comparison across a universal comparison there. So it would be store policies, and they'll have to probably defend if there becomes situations about false cards using in their overall policy and security measures.
Is there some way that we can be more proactive as consumers to push the stores to ask for that, to see the card, or is it just buyer beware and protect your card as much as possible?
Well, the issue there is your card is still inserted when you're doing the signature. You don't get to release the card till after the entire transaction is completed, so that comparison becomes problematic.
So this might create a whole new level of not being able to match my card necessarily.
Possible. It's probably Because of the nature of the system, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. And I'm not sure. The thing is, there is no ironclad system. I mean, there's always ways that you can beat the system.
No, you're right, Larry. I mean, even though we have these chip and pin, chip and signature cards, right now, when you shop online, you are still using your card in the original, before, the swipe method. So your information can still be obtained if your system isn't secure, if you have malware, if you have keyloggers on your computer system, and you still need to be monitoring and verifying and reporting when you see situations and protecting your information. And Tina is asking what she can do to protect. And so, challenge a store with their policy. Are they asking to see a driver's license to compare a signature that way? I'm just talking ideas here at this point. So she's asking the right questions.
Yeah. And, there's nothing wrong with saying something to the places where you do business on a regular basis and just cluing them into your own concerns. Thank you for calling. Deb and Plymouth sent us a Facebook question, which was last time you were on, I think you mentioned a document for the elderly with warnings about scams. Could you please repeat where this document can be found?
Sure. That's our Wisconsin Senior Guide, and it's a small booklet that goes through a number of the most common scams that target senior citizens. And you can get that online at our website, datcp.wy.gov, and you can download it or just read it when you need to. If you want a paper copy, you're not a computer savvy person, that's fine too. You can call our toll-free hotline number, and that number is 1-800-422-7128. And just ask for a copy of the Wisconsin Senior Guide, and we'll put one in the mail.
Excellent. Thanks for that question, Deb. Appreciate it. And Barbara in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm a small business owner, and the last 5 weeks I've started receiving chargeback notices from a merchant account company in California. I don't have a merchant account. I don't accept any plastic in my business, and I never have. And the notice is telling me that they're taking this money back out of my account from charges. So I called them, and they told me that someone opened a merchant account in my name, but that it has been closed. But I still continue to receive notices, and each notice has a different amount that they claim they're taking out of my checking account. So my question is how do I deal with this? I mean, I never opened the account. I don't have any merchant accounts. So,
and no money is leaving your bank, right?
And no money is leaving my bank, but it did have my business name and my business address on there. So they claim somebody opened it and then closed it. And I did Google this merchant account company. They're a flagship out of California, and I read a lot of really terrible reviews that all referred to chargebacks. Problems with chargebacks from people who did have accounts with them. So is this, I guess, how do you protect against this? I mean, is this identity theft? It seems like it in my business name.
Yeah. Sandy Chalmers?
Yeah, I wonder if you would be willing to file a complaint with us.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, that would be great. And then we could follow up on this, because this does sound kind of complex.
Right.
But you can do that by going to our website, datcp.wi.gov, mm-hmm. or you can call the toll-free hotline number, and I'll say that again, 1-800-422-7128, because it does sound as if something is not quite right there.
Yeah.
Right. I did scan all these notices because they wanted me to return them to them. And to dispute these chargebacks or something, I was just like, what is dispute something? I don't have an account with you. So I can also email that PDF file of those, because I did
scan
them. That would be great.
Email them back to them. I did kept the paper copies myself. So, okay, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. Appreciate the call, and that extra information will be certainly useful. Bobby, up next with a comment. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. I used to be involved in a lot of skimming and stuff like that. I figured I'd have at least a few words that I can help some people out. I mean, there's so much. We used to, skimming is one of the most common things. I mean, any time the credit card is out of your hand, it could be anyone in, you know, just simply get somebody hired or pay somebody off that works at McDonald's and you pay for a credit card. Anytime that credit card is out of your sight, it can be easily. Skimming is pretty much taking the card and just swiping it through another credit card reader that's usually connected to a laptop or something. There's even smaller ones now that they don't need to be connected to anything and can remotely take the information until somebody comes and retrieves it later. And by having the information, all you have to do is take another blank, it could be a key card even, run it through anything with a magnetic strip, run it through the machine again, and it'll print a copy of your credit card. Now, most places you go, they even, you know, I write CID on my card. No one checks it, even with that. And, you know, we used to rely on that. I mean, no one does. And so, I mean, you really need to watch, you know, when your card is handed to somebody else. I mean, I know it might sound paranoid, but, I mean, that's how we profited.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many other things. She's mentioned talks about the wallet, the metal wallet. I knew somebody that did that as well. It creates, the metal wall creates a ferreting cage around the RFID chip so that the waves can't get through the metal to that. Now, that's not something that's a technology they're kind of going away with because it was so easy to get the...
Oh, we lost him. Oh, I'm sorry. Here we have somebody who was actually involved in it at one point. Sounds like Bobby is no longer doing it, but...
Yeah, I think that's the first time we've heard from somebody who is actually participating in these crimes. So that was that was interesting and very good advice. You know, there has been a spike lately in the number of skimmer cases that have been seen by local law enforcement, and typically they will put... a device on a gas pump or ATM machine that will divert that your card information into, as he said, a laptop or some other device where it can be used down the road to charge you fraudulently. That was very interesting to get the advice from somebody who had been involved in the crimes.
Yeah, it really was. Doris in Two Harbors, Minnesota, I doubt has a similar background, but she has a question for us, so let's go there. Hi, Doris.
Hi. Yes, my question is regarding these cashback schemes. Under what possible circumstance, even any example you could give, would somebody send money back if somebody sends you supposedly a larger check? It doesn't sound like that would be legitimate under any circumstance. I would think if somebody wants to send you something, you just send it. Or somebody, you want to send somebody else something, you just send it. Why would anybody engage in that sort of complication?
They always have great answers or great reasons, supposedly.
Yeah,
Sandy.
Just remember that these are people who make their living by conning people, and they can usually come up with a very compelling reason involving military service overseas or a sick mother or a sick child or something like that. And, you know, there are many, many people who are vulnerable to that kind of a pitch, so it does happen on a regular basis.
Advice, wouldn't it be safer to say under no circumstances do you ever receive a check from somebody and send back money?
That's, yes, and that is our advice.
I see. Okay. I didn't
that is
hear.
Our advice. Yeah, anytime somebody offers to send you a check for more than the agreed upon purchase price, that's a red flag. Number two red flag is when they ask you to wire the money back, because wire transfers are almost impossible to trace back, and you're just it's almost impossible to get your money back. So those are the two big red flags there.
So just never do it.
Never do it.
Never do it. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have a comment from Jim. Can you discuss any upgrades in Square, the free secure credit card reader that pertains to existing users and owners? I am not familiar.
I know what Square is, but I can't speak to any upgrades or anything that's happening there. I think we'd have to refer to Square for that.
Right, and I know that it's a swipe, mm-hmm. And I don't know whether they have a new device that you can buy or rent that would allow you to dip the new chip cards.
And Stephen, I'm not sure where you're from, Steve, but what's your question?
Juneau County, sir, and I was listening to you guys. And my phone called and asked whether or not I had more than 10 grand that I owed UW-Madison, where I graduated from. And I and it said, if you do, push number one. I pushed number one on my phone, and I thought it was legit, you know, and
But it doesn't sound like it was legit, and it's something. Thanks for calling, Steve. This is an issue we can take up. We need to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back and we'll take that issue up. Thanks for calling. What happens when a bargain turns into a headache or even worse? It's important to know where to turn for help. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. And thanks to Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen for being with us as well. They are with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Always great to have them come by. Certainly, if you have questions or comments about consumer scams, I hope you'll join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And earlier, we had a guy, Steve, had called in and had a call from somebody saying, if you owe the university loan service $10,000 or more, press this button. And he pressed the button and got somebody. And that sounds pretty suspicious to me, Sandy.
Yeah. A couple of things. First of all, I would encourage him to file a complaint if his phone number is on the Do Not Call registry, because it's possible that this call violated state and even federal law. The second thing I'm thinking, this is just a theory, Larry, but remember how when the economy was down in 2011, 2012,
yeah,
and everybody got those robocalls offering to lower our credit card interest rates. And those were fraudulent calls. They were looking for financial information about us. But there were so many people who were desperate to lower their credit card rates that they were willing to give that kind of personal information. Well, given the state of today's economy and the number of people with huge amounts of student loan debt, this could be the new trigger to people to get their personal information, and they're just fishing, assuming that there are a lot of people out there with student loan debt who will press one like Steve did and hand over personal information.
So, Steve, again, if you're still listening, call 1-800-422-7128. It's 1-800-422-7128. And you can request some information for filing a complaint or go online. That's probably maybe the easier way for you. And that's datcp.wi.gov. And that's the online place to go. And Sean and Madison up next. Let's go to Sean. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I didn't catch this. I just got the very end of that last caller. It sounds like maybe it's a similar question. Recently, about a month ago or so, I came across something on Facebook talking about federal student loan forgiveness programs. Decided I'd, check into it. I don't have a pretty fortunate that I have under $10,000 in student loan debt, but they were trying to tell me that it could probably get to the point where the whole thing would be forgiven and wiped out. And once they started asking for bank account information and that, I kind of put the brakes on and said I'd get back to them. Looked around online a little bit. And basically, I'm just wondering, it looks like there's quite a few companies offering this kind of thing. They're saying it's tied in with President Obama and his efforts at reducing student loan debt. And I'm just wondering about the legitimacy of any of these programs and companies that are offering them.
You need to be very cautious to make sure that you're not falling for a scam and that you're actually falling for a legitimate company that could do student debt relief or loan, and that it might be a real program. In consumer protection, we're not the ones who register loaning institutions. The Department of Financial Institutions does, so you may want to check with them on to verify the legitimacy of a company. And then the U.S. consumer, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, at their level for the national programs that would be available as well to verify legitimacy. But good job putting on the brakes as far as when you had to start handing over that personal information and starting to be very cautious there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sean, for calling. Daniel in Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. I had a comment earlier. I heard you talk about never signing a check that's in the mail. And I received a check in the mail for $250,000 and was told to sign it and send it back to attorneys here in the United States. And it had to do with the wrongful death of my mother. And when I had the check, I took it to the bank and it was real, and they said it was. They said it was my money, but the attorney said that I needed to sign it and send it back, and I did. And they returned me $1,000, and I assumed that the rest of the money went towards the burial of my mother and paid the rest of my family. And we weren't a close-knit family, so I did, and I didn't want to get in any trouble, so I sent it back. Did I make a mistake?
Well, there you'd want to check out the attorney to make sure that you were dealing with a real attorney that's registered and licensed to practice law, and that all the circumstances were appropriate and in place, and you should be able to inquire and ask about where the other fees and monies went. But often in a death situation, there is someone who handles the estate and then receives payment for handling other expenses and allocations and things. So that's not the same thing necessarily that we're talking about with fake check scams, where checks don't clear in those situations.
Yeah, and so probably the best is to contact that lawyer. You have the lawyer's name and the city from where they're from where you received the information. So should be pretty easy to get that. If you don't have the number, to get the phone number and call that person back, and just for your own peace of mind. It sounds like it's probably okay, but just for your own peace of mind. And that's a lot of money you're talking about there. Right. So I'd want to do that sooner rather than later. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. We had a comment from Bill on Facebook. Nobody checks the signature on checks or on credit cards, and it provides zero protection. Check the Planet Money show on signatures and why institutions require them. If they have zero value, the main thing is to consider who's liable for fraud. If you should follow the money on it. Banks favor methods that make the retailer liable. Retailers favor methods that make the bank liable. And there's probably my guess is a fair amount of truth to that, Sandy.
I think that's probably true.
So you're absolutely right about that. I want to go back. Deb had brought this up, but I think it bears mentioning again, and that's the question about the document for the elderly. We mentioned it once, but let's mention that again about scams. It's a nice publication, clearly written, and pretty much covers the main scams that are kind of in operation, Sandy.
Yeah, it's we've had, how many of these have we sent out, Michelle? I would say 10,000 or so, and then, you know, many thousands downloaded as well. I cannot tell you how valuable this is to senior citizens, because they are targeted, and the criminals who call you or email you bank on you being a little confused or not sure whether this is a legitimate call or not. So this is a booklet that you can keep by your telephone, and you can refer to it on a regular basis. It goes through things like Medicare fraud and those transient crews that come through offering to asphalt your driveway, a lot of things on telemarketing, junk mail, credit card offers. So it's pretty comprehensive, but very straightforward, as you mentioned, Larry, and easy to understand.
Again, I want to invite you to call in. We've got open lines, which is highly unusual for us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Questions or experience to share about scams, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. We have some other things that we can talk about while we're waiting on some calls here. I want to go back to credit freeze, because that one bears repeating. You mentioned it, Michelle, earlier, but what is the credit freeze and how do you go about doing it?
This is one great tool that helps consumers protect against identity theft. It's a means of consumers being able to lock down their credit report so there can be no extensions of credit or given out in your name and your information unless you lift the freeze or thaw it. So you have to pay each of the credit reporting agencies $10 in order to put a freeze on your report, and then you work with the lending institution. If you're ready to get a mortgage or get a new car, you work with that lending institution to figure out which credit reporting agency they're going to check your report history on, and then you thaw using a PIN and a password that you receive from the credit reporting agency. You thaw that information with them. They have a couple days to go out there and grab it, and then the freeze is put back in place. There is a fee when you do need to put the thaw on and go that back and forth system, but thieves can't go out there and take extra credit out in your name then. They can't get utility services or cable or satellite or new credit cards or anything. It's one of the best ways. So if you're involved in a data breach, you never know when or how that information's going to be used. And if it involves your Social Security number, this is a means of locking down that report and combating against things.
And in the meantime, you can continue to use your credit cards.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't hinder your ability to purchase. It just, can you get a new credit card? You have to plan ahead for that.
A caller just didn't want to hang on, wondered if you could again mention the name of the senior fraud booklet.
Yeah, it's called the Wisconsin Senior Guide. And you can go to our website at datcp.wi.gov and just search Wisconsin Senior Guide, or call our hotline number 800-422-7128, and we'll put one in the mail to you.
I want to say something about that if I could. So sure. When I'm out talking to the public, I take some of these with, and no one wants to grab it because it says senior guide and there's this whole admittance so that you're ready to get it. You know, it's this great publication, if we have to brag about it ourselves, that if you have older parents, that you become educated to help them watch out for things, you can give it to them. But these scams, while they target the seniors, we've been talking about them all day. They hit everybody. So don't be afraid to take a copy just because it has the word senior on it, please.
Next time around, you're going to have to change that and just say guide.
I have been thinking about that approach. I mean, seniors are targets, and we really help to combat and educate because they are the target, but with technology, they'll hit anyone right now.
Okay. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I think we're having some problems right now with our phones, our phone lines here, but we'll get them straightened out. What about a do not call registration? That's come up a couple of times, and there's really two different places that you can get signed up for that, right, Sandy?
Yes and no.
Okay.
The law did change a couple of years ago, and it streamlined things for consumers. So you only have to go one place to register your phone number. And the easiest way, I think, to go is datcp.wi.gov and click the little Do Not Call button. And it will take you to the site you use to register your phone numbers. You can register everybody's phone number in your family. Most people have more than one phone now. Everybody has their own smartphone. So register all those numbers. It's quick and easy to do. It's a permanent registration. Years ago, you had to re-register every 2 years. That's no longer the case. You register once, and the registration is good as long as you have that phone number.
Ann in Michigan has a question, so let's go there. Ann, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'd like to know, is there a general number to call, to like a credit card overseer that can tell you whether somebody else has a credit card in your name?
Okay.
That would show up when you run your credit report if they used your Social Security number. So if they use your name and Social Security number or your Social Security number to take it out, so that's where you want to run one of your free annual credit reports to verify what kind of cards are out with your information.
So, and how do you do that again?
You can go to annualcreditreport.com. That's the one you want to use. That's the one that's truly free, annualcreditreport.com. Or you can call 1-877-322-8228. Be aware you will have to give your Social Security number to get this because that's what they're checking. And I know we talk a lot about not handing over that Social Security number, but this is one of those situations. That's how they match who you are.
So, again, the title of the place to go is
Annual Credit Report, and it's annualcreditreport.com.
Okay. Well, you know, Social Security, Medicaid cards used to have the Social Security number on all the time, and they never warned anybody in those years not to let other people see that Social Security number. It was right out there for anybody.
It still is. Unfortunately, right. It still is.
What we recommend on the Medicare cards is that people carry a copy and black out the first 5 digits of their Social Security.
This was done for years. This is water over the dam. I mean, I've never had any credit, and I'm almost ready to die. I'm that old. And I have never even had a credit card because they say I don't have enough income. Well, I've never had any income because people regularly, they've been living off of me all these years.
Well, that is too bad. That is really too bad, Ann. But I have to tell you that Social Security number is still on that Medicare. And, you know, years ago, this even came up. At the University of Wisconsin, we used to post grades and we used people's Social Security number. This is many, many years ago. But the university, of course, came up with a system where you have a different number. Now, why the federal government can't come up with a system where you'd have a different number, I would wonder if we can do it here, why can't they do it?
And I know they talk about it all the time, and the holdup is the
amount
of
cost.
Extreme cost. You know, we're talking billions and billions to switch everybody over from Social Security numbers. So that's the hang-up.
Well, I wish they'd at least start. You know, you could at least start And with all the new people that are coming on, and then just over time, oh well.
Write your congressman, Larry.
I guess I'm going to have to give Tammy Baldwin a call and see what she's got to say about it. Gene and Ashland, thanks for calling.
Yes. Why aren't credit cards regarded as a type of scam in themselves? People have so much trouble and they accumulate so many cards, they lose track of what they're doing. The other question is this caller you had recently there that said he received, was it an insurance settlement check on his mother's estate?
Something like that, yeah.
And the lawyer or attorney for the estate apparently just asked him to endorse it back to the attorney, and yet he had questions about what it was going to be used for. Why wouldn't he said he took it to the bank and had it verified that it was actually a good check. Why wouldn't he have put it in a couple of accounts? Your federal insurance on each account is only good for $150,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he would request the billings for her various
payments or what have you. Well, you know, there's probably any number of ways to do it. Probably, though, this I would have gotten a hold of the attorney the first thing.
Yeah, ask those questions up front. I mean, they're all good questions, but can't go back on what he did at this point. So just learn from it, ask the questions up front, and he at least took the steps to make sure that the check was valid. And, you know, credit cards being a fraud of themselves, it's everyone just making sure they keep track of what they have and checking that credit report to see if others are taking them out in their name.
Sue was, thanks again, Gene. Sue was wondering, what are the names of the three credit agencies that I would need to contact to freeze my information?
Well, the three credit reporting bureaus are Equifax, TransUnion, and
Experian.
You can go to our website, datcp.wy.gov, and we have information there in a brochure about how to go through this process. That may be the easiest way to do it because the specifics of the instructions change from time to time and by individual company.
Well, and then if they're contacting, going to your site, we know that's a legitimate, you're not going to get... I'm sure there's scams out there that involve the wrong credit card agency, or the wrong credit agency, excuse
well,
me.
Well, every time you do a Google search for annualcreditreport.com, a number of companies will come up that are not free and will encourage you to pay money for what you could get free of charge at annualcreditreport.com.
Always a lot going on out there. And Sandy and Michelle, thank you so much for coming back and being with us, and we'll see you in about a month again.
Okay, sounds great.
Would be my guess.
Thanks. Fun.
Thanks so much. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Again, their number 1-800-422-7128. And, of course, go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show that we have links to their site if you... in case you didn't get it written down. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, it's Garden Talk Friday already. We're going to talk about woody ornamentals and reflecting on some plant diseases from 2015. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.